there's a Church of Satan or something. I don't know the exact one. But it isn't just a goof. It isn't just like taking the piss out of it.
It actually,
they have an interesting point.
The Satanic Temple.
Yes, yes. They have actually an interesting point, which is that, we'll talk about that later. But
they don't believe in Satan.
Yeah, right.
The Satanists hate them.
So you think it's just a goof.
Yeah, Satanists don't like those guys.
But you think it's a goof, but actually what they would say is that they're the only religious group that doesn't have blood on its hands.
Right.
Which is fascinating.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Like the Jews have killed people, the Christians have killed people, everybody's killed people, but the Satanists have not.
Yeah, there are a lot... There are a nice handful of organized pseudo-religions. And I only say pseudo because...
That's weird.
They don't believe in...
That's redundant.
Yeah. But each of them have kind of their own perspective or reason for being. Ready to roll?
Right, but a lot of times it's a goof. A lot of times it's...
Sometimes it is, like the flying... Spaghetti monster,
yes,
but
yes,
there,
yes.
You know, listen, there's something under that one as well to be considered. All right, let me know.
Goofs are sacred.
Here we go. Goofs
yeah,
are
that's
sacred.
Right. Comedy is
We're rolling. Right. Here we go. Let's do a show, you guys. Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, from the No God Band, and our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the fabulous blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, help us out, write a review, get us up there in the top 10 where you've never gotten us before. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll shut down your bank.
Whose bank?
Anyone who doesn't subscribe.
Most people don't own a bank.
Well, the assholes who do own a bank and don't subscribe are getting shut down.
How will you shut down their banks?
By exposing their discriminating practices.
Okay, you're not making any sense
here. Neither are the asshole bankers who aren't subscribing.
Can't argue with that.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you bankers. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Mike Kaplan, John Whiteside, and Michael Addis. You know these guys from showbiz. Kind of. John's not really a showbiz guy.
He hangs out with a lot of showbiz people.
He's a showbiz hanger.
I'm just a prophet and a messiah.
You are the Pope of United Church of Bacon.
That's
praise
correct.
Bacon. Thanks for being here.
May the Lord be with you.
Thanks for having me.
May the Lord be with you.
Yep.
If you don't know about the United Church of Bacon, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Where you been?
Heather and I are celebrants. We are prophets. I jumped at the chance to be part of the United Church of Bacon when I heard about it. Also, the movie I'm making about Ryan Bell's journey away from stupidity. You granted him the ability to marry people, so he didn't even lose that ability after giving up his
former religion.
Yeah, he was a pastor.
Seventh-day
Adventist.
Yes.
Yeah, now he's our pastor of defrock pastors.
Is that right? Is that what we called him?
Yep.
So you came all the way in from Vegas to sit down in one of these chairs and talk into that microphone because you got something going on that's a little irritating, isn't it?
A little irritating. It's an issue of discrimination.
Yeah.
And actually religious discrimination, because the actual United Church of Bacon accepts anybody. We even say you can have a God in front of bacon. We don't care.
Oh,
but
my
we're
goodness.
All skeptics. Most of us are atheists.
Yeah.
And I had an incident at Wells Fargo that was absolutely disgusting. It reminded me of I lived in Alabama and Mississippi. And in Alabama they had a equal rights commission also in the 50s and 60s, and it was called the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, right.
And this is something that's totally unrealistic. The Equal Rights Commission is giving their initial findings into religious discrimination. What it involves is I was denied as a Wells Fargo customer.
You were a customer. You have an account there.
Correct.
Okay.
And Wells Fargo refused to notarize a statement, and all it was a statement between me and the state saying somebody was authorized by the church to perform marriage celebrant services.
Okay.
In Nevada.
All right.
I have to do this. In addition, in Nevada, it's very strict. They make you go through a background check. Penn Jillette had to go through a background check, and he passed it for some reason.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
So wait, you were trying
magic.
To...
magic.
Because they didn't ask me about him.
So you were trying to make it so that you could perform marriages, or so that you could tell someone else that they could perform marriages?
Somebody else. In other words, this individual is actually running for lieutenant governor of the state of Nevada on the Republican ticket.
Wow.
And so I vetted him. You know, I looked into it, and he called me and said, I want to do this, and... so I had to get this document notarized as an affidavit to solemnize marriages.
Okay.
Okay. And so I went into Wells Fargo, and I sat down, and I handed my Wells Fargo card, my license, and the affidavit. The affidavit for the address, and the first thing that happened was is she looks at it, just like everybody does when they say, I run the United Church of Bacon.
Yeah.
You know, they snicker. Oh, right. Yeah, right. But it's really a serious issue that celebrants in Nevada – they have to belong to a religious organization, or, paradoxically, they have to be a notary public or a judge.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, so the notaries are the people in charge of letting people be...
Right? It's the notaries.
Actually, there's
I thought
lawsuit.
It was Pat Robertson that was fucking the gays over.
The Las Vegas Coalition region had a lawsuit, and the settlement was... before the settlement, the issue was that only people of a religious organization could perform celebrant services.
Okay.
So the settlement with the court was that now notary publics could do it, but that was still discriminatory towards people of non-belief because you have to go to school every year and pay a fee.
Right.
And if you're in a religious organization, you don't have to.
Okay.
That's not the reason the church started, but we eventually picked
up. It's one of the things that you decided to make part of your purview.
Correct.
So, had you been in before to Wells Fargo, this particular branch, and had a notarized?
I've had no problems with Wells Fargo.
Well, you live right there.
I actually look down at this bank, and I can't even look out my window right now.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so, but I'm on the 14th floor. Actually, it's the 13th floor of a building on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Wait, what do you mean? I don't get it.
Yeah, right. neither. Trust me, neither do I.
Yeah,
but that's too.
Nobody
small,
gets
that's
it.
Too small of a fight. Okay.
Right.
But the bottom line is they're across the street.
Yeah.
And so I walked in there with this affidavit, and it says United Church of Bacon authorizes, is addressed at this address. It was the same address that was on my license.
Yeah.
So our headquarters, because I don't believe in buildings, you know, for churches. I think that what we actually do, one of the main things we do is we match donations at skeptic conferences. And, for instance, at the TAM conference, we matched with
25.
Yeah, $25,000 with the Secular Student Alliance.
Right, right.
Which is nice. I mean, it's a way of doubling my money. People think I'm rich. but I've actually given away 60% of my income this year. Last year. So, I go in and I get this notarized, and she snickers, which I don't, you know, that didn't bother me. But she says, where does your church bank? And I said, we don't have a bank because it says, I said it right on the spot, in our ninth tenet, it says we don't accept donations. We accept matches to other organizations, but we don't accept donations, and we actually pay taxes as a church. And what I mean by paying taxes is I've spent $12,000 on billboards and advertising in the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Right.
That's not claimed as a deduction. I'm an LLC.
You mean out of – so as someone who runs a church – you're the pope of this church. As someone who runs the church, you're not taking advantage, for example, of the special privileges afforded churches on principle.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
Religious organization does that?
Well, one that has morality.
Mm. Yeah.
One that realizes $88 billion. Is what the tax exempt status is, which is enough to feed everybody on food stamps and leave $10 billion left over for housing homeless.
Right.
Yeah. Or so, blowing up brown people.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You know, so we accept anybody. We even accept vegetarians now, and I'm worried now about
Mike.
I could join.
Do you like the smell of bacon?
I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
that's the only requirement is like the smell of bacon. It can be turkey bacon. It can be vegetarian. What I'm worried about is it developing into schisms like the Shiites and the Sunnis.
I understand.
But
with like a bacon on the side of a Sunni side omelet.
Nice.
It starts.
That was nice.
I like my eggs Sunni side up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what? I want to know more about what happened in that bank. What did she sign it for you?
No, she. first of all, once she said, where's the church bank? I explained the tenet that we don't accept donations. Then I said, what are you looking for? I was grasping for what she wanted.
You were trying to understand why she was having trouble.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so I offered her, I started Googling things on my phone. I said,
Before you go there,
yeah.
I want to set something up that I think is important to those who are listening intently to the storyline. Oftentimes, when I hear this story or even talk about it, we mention at the back end what a notary's job is. Let's start with that, shall we?
Right.
A notary's job, do you remember exactly? Because I could pull it up if we need to.
Yeah, no, it's actually a notary's job. Is she's a witness for the state that I'm making a sworn statement in front of the state.
Okay.
And the only other thing she has to do is understand the contents of the document.
So those are the two. She has to make sure that you are the person signing the document.
Correct.
And that she understands the document.
Correct.
A notary's job does not include confirming, for example, it's not on the notary to confirm that you are supposed to be signing that document, for example, that you are the person who is supposed to be representing the church, for example. That's not their job, is it?
No, that's the state's job.
That's the state's job.
And it's also not their job to ask you where your church banks.
I didn't view it as an evasive question at that time because at that point all I wanted to do was get the notarization.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I started grasping. I was shadow boxing in the dark, I guess you would call it, where you don't have a shadow and you're boxing something that doesn't exist. So I started trying to prove to her that, number one, the church exists, and number two, that I'm the leader of this church. She refused to look at my phone. She refused to do anything whatsoever. I also offered her to go to the. I asked her to go to the county's website or the state of Nevada's website, where she could verify that at this time I was the only celebrant in the United Church of Bacon, and she wouldn't look at anything. She wouldn't look, and this went on for 20 minutes while I was Googling things and trying to get her to look at my phone, but she kept repeating. Wells Fargo said she was kind and courteous or something like that. And I felt more like she was a robot with a smile on her face asking the same question over and over.
But what do you think she was thinking in the back of her mind?
How can you know? Well, for 20 minutes, I finally said, look, I've tried to prove to you that I'm real and the church is real. I lead this church. I'm the founder of this church. I suggest you get a legal opinion because I'm starting to feel like this is religious discrimination.
Oh, you actually said it to her?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So she left, and she came back, and while she was gone, I said, man, the only thing I can do is take my money out and prove that she knew who I was.
Right.
Yeah.
So when she came back, she said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And I said, give me all my money out of the bank.
Okay.
And she did.
She gave you 15
bucks? Did she
ask
you for an ID then? For
that? No. She forgot to close my savings account, which had $100 in it.
How much was in the other one?
The checking account had $175,000 in it.
So she would rather give you $175,000 than
she
just...
She gave it to me on the spot, no questions.
Then Google your name.
So she knew who I was.
She knew. She asked for ID.
She knew who I was.
Yeah.
If she read the affidavit,
right.
She also knew that my license address was the same address as the church.
Right.
I have a question. Okay.
Yeah.
So I bank at Wells Fargo.
Okay.
And if I don't like one Wells Fargo, there's another one on the corner.
No question.
Okay. It's like Starbucks. So
right.
You... went to one,
right.
Did you think about maybe going to others? Or is this just for this or everyone?
Before he goes there, let me just say, there are laws that govern
mm-hmm.
what people can and cannot
sure.
do to people based on religious
yes.
discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those laws don't take into consideration. We'll go to Florida, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The laws don't.
I won't do that.
Don't do that.
No,
just
do
for
that.
Example.
Even
yeah.
though my dad's
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you will eventually be an old Jew
yes,
and you
I
will
know.
Go there.
It's true.
So here's the thing. If somebody won't take care of a wedding for a gay couple in Florida,
mm-hmm.
there's definitely the libertarian argument you can go across the street.
Right.
And I think it's a valid point. You can certainly make this point.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not forget the fact that there are laws on the books
mm-hmm.
that say no one gets to do
right,
that.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I want to make sure we stay focused on why you're fighting this fight.
Well, there's the principle of it, but there's also just practically,
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Either way.
Well, so there's the principle of it, and this is an opportunity for someone who is most likely this woman at the bank, this notary, who is most likely a member of the accepted church system, not
the accepted,
yeah, the government accepted one, right?
Yeah.
Big church. She's part of Big Churcha, and she's very clearly treating him differently based on the fact that he belongs to a church that she, I presume, based on what I've heard, that she perceives as mocking her beliefs.
There's another issue too that would be interesting, because I was just reading about all of the companies that have. That are secretly super Christian.
Yeah.
Super Christian, super conservative.
Yeah.
You know, like In-N-Out.
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, well, that's obviously, but like
Hobby Lobby. Yeah.
But, well, yes, they get in the news a lot, but there's a whole bunch. But I don't know, is Wells Fargo.
Don't know the answer to that.
No, I don't think so. In fact, you asked the question, did I go to another Wells Fargo?
Right.
And this happened between 4:35. I know that because I crossed the street at 4:20.
Mm hmm.
And so I was in the bark about 4:30.
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
And when I was let out of the bank, they closed at 5, and the guard had to let me out the bank. So this all happened between 4:30 and 5. So the next morning, I called Wells Fargo headquarters and talked to somebody, and he eventually told me Wells Fargo only notarizes for official Wells Fargo business. And I said, no, I can go to the next closest Wells Fargo and get this notarized. This was not about discrimination of Wells Fargo in general, is about an individual employee.
Got it.
Okay. Right. So I went down to the next closest, or pretty much the next closest Wells Fargo at 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. By 9:10, I was out with the statement notarized. Okay. She understood the document and she knew who I was. And the only reason I could do this is because I still had $100 that she forgot to close in my savings account.
That's
so I did it legally. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't your business account, but it was still.
No. There's no business account for the
church. Now, this other notary didn't ask you anything about where the church banks.
No, she read the document. Uh-huh. She understood the document. Right. She saw my license and she saw my Wells Fargo card. And she notarized it.
She did what a notary should have done.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. No tarrying.
No tarrying. Right. Is that a phrase?
Yeah, I mean, like, tarrying means, I think, to, like, dilly-dally, so there should be no tarrying, but for the first one, there was tarrying. That's where the phrase notary comes from.
And to be honest with you...
Conjugating the verb to note.
If she would have offered me an alternative there at Wells Fargo, she was the customer service manager. Mm-hmm. If she would have said, I'm comfortable with this. But she never questioned the existence of the Church of Bacon in her reply to my complaint with the Nevada Equal Rights Commission.
Mm-hmm. So you filed a report?
I filed a report.
Okay.
Because I asked, when I got through notarizing the statement the next day, I called back this individual at Wells Fargo headquarters, and I said, would you please start an internal investigation into this?
Okay.
He refused. So that's how I ended up at the Nevada Equal Rights Commission.
Wow.
Okay. And April when this happened, April 7th, I believe, 2014. So September 30th, the Nevada Equal Rights Commission sent me the reply of Wells Fargo. I don't think she ever testified, but they said that she was unable to verify that I was authorized to do this by
Bullshit.
The Church of Bacon.
Which is not her job. That's not what she's supposed to do, right? All right, you're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in man bear pig. ROAD.com/Emery Emery and buy the damn thing.
Bear pig. A man walks into a bank and says to the teller, I'd like to open a fucking checking account. Shocked, the teller says, excuse me, sir. The man says, I said, I'd like to open a fucking checking account. The teller says, I'm sorry, sir. This is a place of business, and we won't tolerate that kind of language. He says, get me a goddamn manager. The manager walks up and says, what's the problem here, sir? The man says, I just won $8.2 million in the Iowa State Lottery, and I want to open a goddamn checking account. And the manager says, and this cunt won't help you?
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Mike Kaplan, John Whiteside, and Michael Addis. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm
so, where were we in this tale of horror?
They just responded.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. Wells Fargo.
So well, you filed a report with the state because there are laws that say you can't be discriminate. People can't discriminate based on religion.
Correct.
And when you filed the report, what happened next?
September 30th, they came back with the initial reply from Wells Fargo saying she didn't notarize it because she couldn't verify my authority in the church.
Right.
So we replied to that. I basically stated, hey, I'll authorize an internet search of my usage of my phone.
To show that you had asked her to look it up.
Between 4:30 and 5.
Right. She refused to look things up, right?
Yes.
So she was refusing to authorize these things. If
unwilling.
That's, unwilling, right. Unwilling.
Yeah, not
right.
Unable.
So that was the reply. And I answered by saying, hey, I offered you, you know, April 8th, my phone. Also, my attorney requested that we that they retain the tapes of the transaction. Mm-hmm. And basically, we answered it saying this isn't her job.
Right.
So they just recently came out, the Nevada Equal Rights Commission just came out with the findings, and we've appealed the findings. It's due in the day after tomorrow. And you can get it online at the United Church of Bacon. All you got to do is Google put in the churchofbacon.com.
Right.
Or United
Church
of Bacon.
And just to be clear, the petition that we've put together for this, I've
right.
helped you with this petition.
Right.
The petition has a couple links in it. You can find the Church of Bacon. I put those links in the petition so people could see how easy it is to confirm who you are.
Right.
There's a website that you had invited her to go to, the Nevada Secretary of State, the Nevada Marriage Efficient Public Search. If you do that, if you go to that, and that's at nvsos.gov/ministerpublicapp/. And if you go there and type in John, then Whiteside, and the organization name, United Church of Bacon, keep all counties checked, hit search, boom, your name comes right up.
Correct.
You are right in that database.
Right.
When I went looking, it took me literally 20 to 30 seconds to find out who you were.
I just, at the end, you know, what it boils down to is the state's backing her, or backing Wells Fargo at this
right.
point.
Right.
At this point.
It is about Wells Fargo and yeah. versus you, isn't it?
Yes. And they even said, well, she acted courteously and professionally. And if they know that, then evidently they saved the tapes that my attorney asked them to save.
Right.
This is not about suing Wells Fargo. This is about treating people equally.
Yeah.
You know, it's the thought police, basically.
Right.
Did they tape all transactions? I mean, anytime you go to the
yes.
teller?
Yes.
Basically, absolutely. I just go to the teller and say, hey, how's it going? They start the tape?
Well,
no,
I'll tell
no,
you this.
No, it's going all the time?
It's going all the time on a
really?
Loop. On probably yeah. At least a week or two long loop.
At least 2 weeks.
Yeah?
I know that.
Okay.
I know that from a former Wells Fargo
yeah.
employee.
So they're storing a couple weeks worth of. These are banks. And let me point out, these are banks in Nevada.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, oh, Nevada banks.
Right. But that's just there? Or
no, I think all around the country, except for maybe Bailey Savings and Loans, but most of them have.
I mean, they got to do it. Let's say a teller stealing money.
I know Teller, and he wouldn't steal.
Teller. Yeah.
He makes things disappear all the time.
I single name dropped.
He stole a pen once. That's why they keep him chained down.
Nice.
But sometimes those pens can escape.
He stole my niece's engagement ring.
Who did?
Teller.
How did he steal? No,
let me see that,
back.
And all of a sudden it's gone.
It's gone. It came back.
It came back. You know. Mm-hmm. It was funny.
Yeah, but have the jewels checked in that thing. He's really good, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
That would be a great magician's thing, right? To borrow jewelry from people.
Right, and just hawk it.
And what you're really doing is just returning shitty versions of their jewelry, and they go about their lives not realizing they've just been robbed.
You could do a lot of good. I mean, you psychologically, the people are undamaged, and then you can, you know, get money and, you know.
Do good for who? Yourself?
I mean, you know, donate to charity is what I'm saying.
Right.
Every pickpocket's goal.
A lot of good.
I do like that there's, you know, that Penn and Teller are both things you find at a bank.
They are. They are both things you find at a bank. You must tweet that tonight, please.
I will do.
I'll be retweeting that. Okay, so we'll get back to this. We'll come back to this. We'll talk more about this later in the show. I was so excited when I think you hollered at me maybe on Facebook, and we just kind of struck up and we're talking, and you had mentioned religion doesn't bother you so much as something else. You remember the conversation we were having?
I should have done research.
No. I think you have some ideas in your head that we're going to talk about today because you were just kind of throwing some things
up. Look at his face.
Up.
He's like, I do?
No, now
I do?
No. All my Facebook messages.
No, you don't. I'm going to tell you what you said to
Please
me.
Please do.
Yeah, the metaphysical. Okay.
Oh, well, yeah.
I knew that's all I had to say.
I'm not up for anything metaphysical.
I knew that's all I had to say.
I'm done with any spirituality, any
it
kind
of It made me
nothing.
Think when you said it that you had fallen for it at some
point. Well,
what
point. Did he say?
Is that right?
Fallen for... No.
He didn't say much. We were in a quick chat, and I said, would you like to do the show? And he goes, God, I'd love to do the show. I have a lot to say about atheism. And he goes, I have a lot more to say about metaphysical beliefs. It's more harmful almost in your mind, I think you would try to communicate.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I had a friend. I don't think she listens. Oh. Okay.
So what's in the category of metaphysical?
Like energy?
Yeah, energy. I know energy exists. But no, anything wacky. So anything, like burning sage to ward off evil spirits. I mean, there's a lot of spiritual stuff. And I know that is defined a lot of different ways. But if you believe in... See, the thing that bugs me is that when people go, I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe in organized religion or disorganized religion. I don't know why there's a difference. I think that I had a friend who was staying at my place.
Voice dropped when you said that.
Because I'm going to tell a dramatic story. No, I'm going to tell a really serious story now. She was staying at my place.
Used up all your sage.
Yeah. And goddamn, that sage is expensive. It's a little containers, and she's burning it. No. So, she had burned the sage to ward off evil spirits.
In your house?
Yeah. But
That's offensive, right there on its face.
Of course, but it gets worse. So, and I'm in her place in New York. We just did a trade. So, meanwhile, I let her borrow my car and didn't gas it up, didn't wash it. But it fascinated me because when I came back, I was like, here she is, and this is very similar to a lot of, I think, quote unquote, spiritual people. She's burning sage to ward off the evil spirits and ward off evil.
Right.
But you can ward off evil and bad energy by washing a car or doing very practical things like, you know, that putting gas in the car that wards off evil.
The evils of running out of gas.
Is it not evil?
That's right.
It's if evil. Anything is.
Yeah, Bill Cosby's son ran out of gas. Look what happened to him.
Somebody, the other day, I was saying something negative about Bill Cosby. And they said,
why?
Right, I know.
What?
Why are you against rape?
Yeah.
And this
racist.
Guy goes, this guy goes, watch what you say. He had his son killed.
Oh.
I hadn't thought about that one.
I just realized Bill Cosby has made me a rapist. I only wrote that joke because I've been hanging out with you just for the record.
You're welcome.
So if you make the list of different beliefs that are... metaphysical. That's the only way I can describe it. It's easy to kind of strip them all away, and then sort of rebuild.
How do you feel about like yoga?
Yeah, that's a good. That's a very good yeah. question. Yoga and meditation are two things that there's actually no spirituality. There's very good science
and
behind.
Except for the yoga teachers that put the spirituality.
Yeah, forget about them. Yeah,
right.
Well, they're talking all sorts of nonsense while you're doing something that
has a physical effect.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that affects your body and stretches and da-da. I mean, what is the difference between a yoga move and I did a bunch of push-ups the other night. You know, yeah. It's just a physical thing. So there's no...
Well, there is a difference. There is a difference.
Well, there's a difference, but you don't have to have any metaphysics in yoga to enjoy the...
You can become more flexible and through yoga, whether you believe anything's happening or not. You can become more... what's the other thing we just... meditation. You can become more peaceful, more calm. You can...
Right, yeah. Exactly. I listen...
But you can't really transcend much.
Well, but... I do it a fair amount.
Right.
I actually do meditation and listen to a Sam Harris meditation tape.
Yeah, good.
He actually
does tapes where he speaks
I'm old, so I call them tapes, but it's just MP3.
It's just him.
I didn't mean it like that. So he actually
there's no actual physical tape.
When I was a kid, you could listen to the and now over the washing.
Right. Well, it's his podcast. He has two of the episodes. One of them.
Podcast is so boring that you have
to. No, it's an actual bona fide guided meditation for 9 minutes and one's for 26 minutes.
That's great.
So he's
phenomenal. I love Sam.
If anybody here wants to name a metaphysical belief.
Yeah,
we can discuss whether there's a reason to believe it or not.
Okay, anything and everything that Deepak Chopra spews from his face hole. We'll be back to talk more about that after this break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, good news indeed. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the Donate More If You Can button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. We actually do. If you can't afford $10 a year, send me an email. We'll hook you up. So be generous if you can afford it and support the show. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. Hospitals report that the hearts of bankers are in strong demand by transplant patients because they've barely been used.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Mike Kaplan, John Whiteside, and Michael Addis. Again, thanks for being here, everybody.
Everybody.
I don't say the everybody. That's your thing.
Everybody.
We're all buddies. Wrong for me to say that.
Is that your bunty.
Is that the image that you have on your Facebook page, Heather?
Well, it's more than just that.
It's a cover photo of a bunny that says, blow me?
Yeah.
Really
it says,
cute.
Go ahead, little bunny. You have something to say?
Blow me.
Damn it, bunny. He was supposed to wish you a happy birthday. He's such an asshole.
That's cute. The whole metaphysical thing that comes out of Deepak Chopra makes me want to just lose my fucking mind.
He's a retard with cash. It's just awful.
He's a word
it just
scrambler.
Makes me sick. Yeah, and I think he's bilking people of just absolute millions and millions.
Well,
of dollars.
I'm fascinated by the seven spiritual laws, things like that, where you're trying to live a better life and you're trying to get some kind of motivation and you're trying to go to a higher place in your life, and you don't necessarily need to believe in crazy stuff.
But listen,
real stuff.
Before I was a skeptic, I decided to listen to a Deepak Chopra video, watch a video, and I took notes because I knew that he said things that were kind of like hard to understand.
Ambiguous and weird.
So I took notes, and I was feeling bad too, and I was like, I need some inspiration. And I went back and read the notes, and I still didn't fucking understand what he said. I did not get it. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? And this was even before I was a skeptic. Like, where is it all coming from? Is he just making this shit up? What's he doing here?
I think his babble appeals to ego. I remember falling for him. I do.
Mm-hmm. And people fall for that.
I read his books.
I remember falling for him. I remember listening to him speak on talk radio on driving cross country. And I remember thinking, I should drink warm water instead of cold water or room temperature, I think he said. I should drink room temperature water.
That may be the case, though.
There might be some science to suggest that one temperature of water is better than another.
Yeah, I've looked into it. There isn't.
Wait a second.
It depends on what focus the study is on. There isn't a general study on it that can be found. Right.
Room Temperature Corporation. They make a lot of money out of selling room temperature water.
If you're trying to solve a problem, there's a lot of studies that talk about hot, warm, cold, neutral, iced, those things.
And there's the big thing about the lemon and the room temperature water. Yeah. And I try to do it, but it's like, oh, is it too cold? Is this going to mess me up? So I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, you got to burn the sage first.
That's underneath it. To heat it up.
Well, it's also like, you know,
and then put it in a spoon.
and then inject the lemon water. Yeah.
They say it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So if you're like, so you should smile.
Is it the same thing.
It's a similar thing, Bill. Somebody had a joke once. It's like, well, if you want to get more exercise, then you should frown more.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know what I mean?
Like,
that's a good point. Burn
Do
more
we know
calories.
Who wrote that joke? That's a nice joke.
I don't know who.
Don't
it was.
You hate when you can't remember the guy who wrote that?
Yeah.
Then you just steal it.
But legit,
the same thing. See, director, not comic, right there, my friend.
You put.
But I'm friends with Joe Rogan, and I know he'll beat me up just for thinking about that.
Yeah, I know, right?
But like, if you put hot water or cold water, if you put non-room temperature water in your body, then it takes some amount of energy to convert it to the...
Either direction, it takes some energy, right.
So it depends if you, like, oh yeah, you don't want to waste energy, or you do want to burn energy. Like, you know, what are your goals?
Well, yeah, I mean,
it takes energy.
It takes energy to
heat.
Bring anything to the status, to the norm. You know what I mean? So anything you do, anything. It takes energy to touch a wall. It burns a certain amount of energy.
It takes energy to listen to you.
Because you have to think.
Metaphysical.
Did you say that to me?
Oh,
son of a
to bitch. Anyone.
Yeah, I know. No, she was talking directly to me.
She wasn't looking at you, though.
Yeah, no.
It takes energy to look at you.
It does.
It takes more energy to look and listen to me bitch about her complaining about listening to me. So, the question that really... yes.
Mini fact here. So, hello, Matt.
Matt Kirshen happens to be in the house tonight.
Stuff in the corner.
Hello.
But hey, how's it going? One calorie is the energy it takes to raise 1 gram of water by 1 degree.
There you go.
So, how
Ryan over here is like, what the hell is that about?
How many calories you burn to take the difference in your body temperature between the body temperature and the temperature of the water, and times it by the number of grams of water in the cup. And that's how many calories you'll burn.
Okay, so what you want to do if you want to lose weight is drink scalding water.
Hot water. The hot water diet.
Yeah. Oh, cold water.
Yeah, you need to burn that energy to raise it from cold up to your body temperature.
Okay. All right, so you want to drink, if you want to burn calories, drink cold water.
If you want to get fat,
if you want
to
burn
hot water,
marginal numbers of calories.
Yeah, marginal.
I've been out of college a while. What's a gram?
About 350.
Yeah, okay.
350, same as in town.
So, on this metaphysical bullshit, I used to go to this cycling class, spinning class.
Like a soul cycle thing.
I don't know what a soul cycle is. But it's
where they steal your soul while you ride the bicycle.
No, it's a spinning class, so it's a stable bike. Yeah. Okay. And I went to the place because it was called Lotus Kitty, and I like kitties, so I was like, this place sounds cool. They like kitties, too. But anyway, the woman who owned the thing, when she would do her classes, after each class, we'd all do like a little bit of yoga, warm down kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then she'd take an essential oil and she'd pick one for the day. And then she'd tell you to put your hands out. And then she'd dab a little bit of oil in each hand. And she's like, and breathe this in because it will clear your whatever, your chakras or whatever the fuck. And I always
deny. It'll clear your nasal passage.
I always deny. I was like, no, thank you. Right. No, thank you.
Okay.
And she didn't care. And I thought, okay, this is a little weird, but okay, maybe that's just like part of her routine. Mm-hmm. Until that this past holiday, her store, her cycling school, decided a holiday extravaganza. What do you call it?
Sale?
Not sale, but where
special.
Special event. Thank you. Where she invited several different people to come in and display their wares. One was a pet psychic. The other was an acupuncturist, and then there was like some sort of other kind of
pronunciist,
a food guru, and the pet psychic killed me though. Psychic
by how accurate they were.
But I found out that there is
that bunny does say "blow me."
Then I realized that there was a pet psychic across the street actually, so she was just resourcing from around the neighborhood.
She was literally just outsourcing and going to another, getting the information from another.
Well,
pet
she invited these pet psychic people.
Why did she just make it up?
I don't know.
Why did she?
That would be dishonest.
She's running a different scam.
But it was
that's
like,
not her particular.
It was like a holiday bazaar to get people to come into her cycle business, and a lot of weird shit she offered.
So. I know that Mike has been exploring what many might refer to as the metaphysical. I don't know that you would. I'm not sure how you would define it.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
I know, right? If only there was a way to find out.
Yeah, how would we know this, Mike?
I gotta go. And I've been putting a physical substance in my body and having things happen in my brain. Ayahuasca is the substance that exists. It's made of, I think the version, there's all different versions of it, but the kind that is created by the guide that I go to.
Monsanto.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. No GMOs, though. Yeah. Just OMGs, you know? So he makes it from, it takes like, I think for each say there's like 20 people coming to a thing. I think there's like, he's like, I take 40 pounds of this vine and 20 pounds of these leaves. I think ayahuasca is just one of is the vine. Mm-hmm. And then chacruna is the leaves. And it's one of the substances has DMT in it. And the other one has MAOI inhibitors.
Yeah.
Or maybe that the I stands for inhibitor.
It allows the DMT to get into the brain.
Yes. There already is some there, but so it jacks up the amount of it there. It decreases the inhibition. And so, DMT is the substance that when it's flooding your brain, like that's what happens when you're dying, people believe. And so that's what makes sort of a dreamlike, sort of trance-like state occur that, time sort of, like a lot of other sort of entheogens or hallucinogens, makes you sort of have time dilation, like sort of a dissociative nature. Like a buddy of mine recently just did it and at various points of it heard his name and the guide's name and like my name and his girlfriend's name, but actually didn't know which he's like, I know those are familiar names to me, but I don't know who they are, including himself.
This is why heaven is real,
right?
And it's the same thing.
And so that's like a lot of times, obviously, when people come back from near death experiences or out of body experiences, they'll have all these like very clear images of like, we both have these experiences that were like, oh man, what an amazing, like some people, it definitely seems like you're communicating with things either outside of yourself or that you are this, part of this grander, web of connected entities or like
or some other dimensional.
Yeah, right? I mean.
And imagine your brain doing something odd when you're about to die.
Uh-huh.
Imagine your brain seeing things.
Well, the first time I ever thought of this, the first time I had this thought, the one I'm about to express, mm-hmm. was while listening to you and Zach talk about this, it occurred to me that, and I had looked some things up about ayahuasca and the things that you're describing now, Mike. So all this is roiling around in my head. You're describing these things, and it occurred to me that I wonder if death is to blame for religion. In other words, that near-death experience that causes DMT to flood into our brains so that going out isn't just shit. Right. You know what I mean? So that it's actually kind of like better than all the other stuff we've ever
My
done.
My ancestors. Exactly. They're welcoming me.
Exactly. Yeah,
I know what we got to do.
It feels good.
I think.
So let's all drink this.
You're saying it's that moment rather than just the general fear of death.
Well, yeah. You can experience this without actually dying.
Yes.
Yes,
you can
yes.
experience the natural DMT flood without actually losing your life.
We all have to kill each other.
Yeah.
That's going to solve it.
That's the way we're out of this? The religion is over if we kill each other?
Well, if death was
Pretty
the start
much,
of it,
yeah.
death should be the end of it.
If there are no people, there can be no religion. The logical atheist position.
I just look on the wall and Cameron has posted, oh no, Emery is thinking again. So, but that's the first time I really had that thought. I wonder if religion sprung up. I wonder if religion continues to happen. And it happens in isolation. Religious structures show up on islands of people who have no contact with outside worlds, you know?
Right.
So
because everybody has a fear of death or everybody...
I don't think it's as simple as...
Okay.
Because that's my point.
Yeah, I get it.
I think that our brains are doing something that is being turned into... that's being explained with this metaphysical explanation. So nature is to blame. That's the first time I really had that thought. Nature is to blame for religion.
Did you ever
Let's
get into
kill nature?
Let's kill. Yes, we're working on it, Heather.
Why
we're
are
working
you so
on
kill?
It.
We are we
nurture
are.
Yeah, we are only, which is the message that I get from ayahuasca. It's all about nurture.
It is right.
Yeah, it's a very nurturing thing. Also, here's some good news: is if before you die, like you do experience sort of like your life passing before your eyes, you know, you're like, oh, I get to have all these experiences again. Once you get to the part where you're dying, then I think you should reset, and you'll just keep playing your life. Yeah. You know. Smaller and smaller, but on a loop infinitely, so that we will never die.
Well, that's how dreams are for me. Mm-hmm. When I wake up from a dream that I remember, it's almost if it's really vivid. Well, if I really remember all of it, it's something that just continued to happen over and over and over again, and with slight variations in it. Have you had that experience, Mike?
That is something that people when I not me specifically, but my friends who have smoked DMT a lot and or done ayahuasca. Think oh yeah, this is just happening like thousands and thousands of times, like this whole, you know, existence, like all right. of our lives, and like we go into we're like, oh yeah, like nothing to fear, everything's fine, we've been here before, everything's good, like that's, you know, there's no separation between selves, we, you know, living is the actual forgetting, and like dying is like, oh yeah, everything, you know, we're good again.
Yeah.
But you know,
well, I don't know if prior to these experiences, you were as, and I feel you probably were, but I don't know if you were as philosophical or as deep-minded about everything, your experience, life, interaction with everybody. I've learned so much about you. It's really kind of beautiful. And it seems to me like the ayahuasca experiences are causing you to really start reaching into corners of thought that you might not have otherwise gotten to. Is that accurate?
That sounds some definitely. For some things, it sort of, you know, washes away unimportant things and sort of like, you know, highlights and sort of shines and polishes parts that I'm like, oh yeah, that was a good part. I mean, you know, things as basic as like, you know, expressing compassion or forgiveness or feeling love or
it's
kindness.
It's a good thing you're a really nice person in general and was a nice person beforehand, because if you weren't, you could be going in the opposite direction.
It's possible, though. I do know my buddy who introduced me to it was like an angry dude and like had a sociopath dad.
Oh.
And,
wow.
And he, when the first time he did it, was like, oh, like the, and for he came to the same realizations. And for him, he was like a little like, oh God, it's, we're all one. I guess so. You know, he was like, these hacky, like things are true that the hippies
we gotta
are right.
We got to get this into the Republican water coolers.
but yeah, he legit was like, I have to reach out. He's like, my dad's tried to poison me a few times and he like pushes people away and is like the worst guy. And he had a, he like, he threw up, like my friend threw up during one of the experiences, and
which is not uncommon.
No, it's a thing that can happen and can come along with the
peyote, like in that sense,
an emotional catharsis along with the, you know, like purging.
Physical,
they call
purge,
it cleaning. Yeah, cleaning your body of the things that it needs to be cleaned of. And for him, some of it was his father's negative influence that he hallucinated vomiting the ring that his father punched him and left a scar on his forehead with. And he's like, oh, I got to get my dad's evil out of me. And so how do I do that? By not, like, getting away from him and cutting him out of my life. He's like, I have to go reach out to my dad. I have to try and, like, because nobody loves him and he doesn't love anybody. So somebody has to, and that'll be me.
Oh, wow.
And he was
so
like,
his dad finally killed him then?
Eventually will, probably. That seems logical.
It should be noted, that is an incredibly important thing for a man to experience, is that sort of forgiveness of the father.
Right.
To sort of get over all the nasty things your dad might have done to you is incredibly important. And unfortunately, we don't get much of that with religion. We don't get enough of it through therapy. And here's this wonderful combination of drugs that does it, to be applauded.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful thing.
Have you forgiven your dad, John?
I just keep going back to remembering what my life was like before I was born. You know, we're fairly close to the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Church United, yeah.
Except they like their bacon on top of their pasta. We prefer our bacon below it. Plus, bacon can be proven to exist in a court of law.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to take a we're not going to take a break. I don't think anything's working. I see why it's not working. Here we go. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable, very brief intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. But before we do that, I have to tell Cameron,
yeah?
Let Kyle back in the room.
Did he really
stop
kick someone out of the room?
A jerk face. Okay. Yes.
All right.
He is censoring Kyle. Chris Otazo, Ateo, Finn Nicholas, Greg Laurie, Sekelebrant.
Sekelebrant? Sekelebrant.
Travis B., Scarlet Field, Will, Zappa Freak, Grave Apologist, Boner Jam, Periodiliolia, Matthew Ty, Deepox Schmegma, Fucktown, where I want to take you to, and Cameron Winters and Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Mike Kaplan, John Whiteside, and Michael Addis. Heather wants to take you to Fucktown. All right. I'm pretty sure I'm going to try ayahuasca relatively soon. I've had some experiences.
I don't want to puke. I don't feel like puking.
Well, number one, it's not required. It doesn't happen for everyone every time. Like I've not puked more than I have.
It will happen to me.
But also, it feels good when it happens. It's like,
oh, that's even better. I'll go home.
That's like food poisoning.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna. It won't be like I don't go around puking all the time now because that's that would be foolish.
Yeah, I know. You could be desensitized to the negativity of puking, and then
I'm not now addicted to puking.
Okay.
But I am now, like,
you lose weight that way though.
I feel like that's a reaction that a lot of people have, like when you first hear about, oh, it can happen.
Yeah.
Like it's not a vomit experience, but it is a thing that can happen. You know, it can happen in life in general. You know, you never know when you're gonna puke or why. Like diarrhea is a thing. Like, so
yeah,
like,
but this tea you take it. But you
it's
said
not like
that
peyote. You will puke if you eat peyote. With ayahuasca, I understand that there's a percentage of people who will probably experience a physical purge, but not all.
But weren't you saying that if you don't drink alcohol, if you don't eat the Hooven Calf or whatever?
Yeah, if you keep
sounds
your
religious to me.
If the diet is as processed food free, mm-hmm. and fried food free, and external, like unnecessary, just like least. Have it be as wholesome as possible. Have your diet be as just, you know, sort of purely like fruits and vegetables and like grains and legumes and things leading up to it. Legumes.
It's a good word.
Beans.
Yeah. It's a great word.
And beans. I mean, I
the magical
I do,
fruit.
I have the last couple times thrown up, but having a vegan diet and not drinking a ton of alcohol, it can. But the first time it happened for me, it was just, I'd done two nights in a row. The first night was totally, like, you know, fine, straight ahead. And the second night, now I had, like, sort of fasted for the better part of, like, you know, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I had a little food after the first night. But then this was, like, the most intense way that I did it. Like, usually what I've done is it's one night, the end.
And you're done, right.
But, like, this, sometimes it is, like, do it overnight, then wake up, and then do it again, which is another fine way to do it. The hardest way was, did it Saturday night. Then you have to fast for most of the day in advance of doing it. So then Saturday night and Sunday night. So it wasn't just, you know, right. It was just the longest period of the least amount of food. So I went into it pretty weak, and then it sort of like it was a powerful experience.
Yeah, when I did cocaine, I would just like, you know, one night. And then when I finally was doing it two nights in a row, I realized it was time to quit.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I would recommend. I mean,
you may have a problem now.
It's possible. I am an ayahuasca-holic.
So how was it? How was it the twice in a row? Was that profoundly different? Did you get a lesser effect the following time? I know I'm talking like a drug experience. Sure. I know it's more than just that. So forgive that.
I'll tell you, like, you know, qualitatively or quantitatively at least,
right?
If not both qualitatively and quantitatively. There's three times that I've done it 2 days in a row. One time it was two separate nights, and that was, I'd say the first night was very like powerfully thinky. Like it was not as, there were some visuals, but mostly I had sort of this like clarity of purpose. It was very sort of Jesus based, a lot of themes of sort of forgiveness and like wanting to think about in my comedy and in my life, just talking more about, being, you know, like the way, he was supposedly meant to be, you know, actually a being of, you know, kindness to the downtrodden, you know, and forgiveness to even the people that were murdering him as they were murdering him. He's like, yeah, I forgive you. That's the right thing to do. If you're going to say, what would Jesus do? Forgiveness. That's like that's pretty much, if anything, like get murdered and be free and forgive people. Those are the two major things that a lot of Christians, I feel like, are not living by those things, you know. Right. But so those, and I was like, oh, yeah, always love, always forgive was a sort of a mantra that was running through my head that night, and it was just all very like eyes open. Like a lot of times on ayahuasca, you sort of just like you sit up until it hits you, and then you're sort of just taken over, and you lie down, and you're awake, but you're just, you know, having these visions, and the visions are like this tapestry on which the work, you know, it's sort of like this, you know, trance therapy.
Do you get dizzy or feel like the room is spinning? And like if you try to
get up and walk like to the bathroom or something, it's definitely like you feel like a little drunk, like you feel like you're sort of walking on the moon a little bit.
Mushroomy.
Like, yeah, you would not want to drive a car while this is happening. Yeah. Sometimes you're not even able to get, like, I've had times where I'm like, I feel complete like bliss, but also I have to pee, and I'm like,
did you pee yourself?
No. But I maintained like I not getting up till I was uncomfortable and like needed to, because I was just like, I like lying here feels so good, but also I feel the consciousness of this bladder situation.
Right. Is it hard to pee?
No. If you're there, like it's totally simple.
X and other drugs. Well, Molly can make it hard to pee for some people.
You know, this is totally fine. So that time. It was like the day before the Super Bowl. It was Saturday night, and so that was that experience. Then I went the next day, and so the night of the Super Bowl, I went back, and then I find it ironic
that you're marking your experience with something as awful as the Super Bowl.
It's really. Oh, I mean, I was glad. Funny. It's funny because the night before the Super Bowl, there was like more people there. There's probably like, you know, 20 something people, and the next night maybe only like a dozen people. So I'm like, did some people like schedule their ayahuasca meditation
around?
They're like, you know, I guess Saturday night we'll go and have this peaceful experience, and then so that Sunday we can watch a bunch of people murder each other.
Yeah. I'm gonna go transcend everything that is wrong with this world.
Then I'm gonna come back to Earth and witness it.
That's and take part in.
I agree completely with forgiveness. It's great for you to forgive somebody and somebody to forgive you. But when you get a third party involved, in other words, it's immoral and repugnant on its face for you to ask forgiveness from something that you don't know exists. In other words, you should always, and some Christians do this, but a lot of people depend on forgiveness from a third party, and that's not forgiveness.
Yeah, no. Forgiveness is between two people.
Right.
Really? I mean, basically, unless you're in a triad.
Or yourself. I mean, that's where all you can do is control your own, you know, like that Bo Burnham song about like the love, you know, from God's perspective, where the end is like the love has to come from you.
Yeah.
Like
everything
has, whatever you want to exist, like you have to live it and manifest it and be it and think it and feel it. And so that next night of the Super Bowl now, I am just experiencing, like, my body is physically weak, and, like, as much as I was thinky the night before, I was just feeling, I was sort of completely overtaken.
Right.
That was the first time that I vomited, and I was like, I needed to, and I was just like, now I lay there completely, you know, physically depleted, but now overwhelmed by this, like, the night before, I was like, man, everybody, like, in my head, kind of like, I'm not going to go around telling everybody they're doing things wrong, but I'm like, oh, man, I know a right way. Like, I know, here's a way, this makes sense, this is the thing. Like, if people don't feel this, like, I'm like, what if I'm telling people, like, love is the answer, forgiveness is the answer, and like, hey, but what if a murderer, no, it's always forgiveness. Right, you gotta, right. Even the worst, yep, thing, they have to be, and so I was like, sort of in my mind, mentally steamrolling, and then the next night, I'm like, empathizing with every person that was possibly able to argue. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, these people are people. Everybody's people with feelings and complex, you know, states, yeah, of emotions. And
you were too exhausted for ego to run.
And so I was just like, oh, man, and I'm just like, I can hardly even think. So I'm just like, here I am, just like lying as still. I couldn't get up that time. And
right,
so that was just a super powerful, like, the way that this thing, it gives you sometimes, you know, whether it's what you want or need, it highlights a thing in you that is not lacking, but you're like, it's like, hey, here's a thing, and it's not even it's the tool. You are your subconscious or whatever it is deciding, like, this is what you're gonna feel, this is what you're gonna focus on, this is what you're gonna think about, and the ways that, like, then future trips depend and build on past ones. It's like, that was the middle, that was the second of the three times that I did both the Saturday, Sunday versions. The first time, both nights were like, they talk about in the Peruvian culture, the underworld, this world, and the above, the heavenly,
yeah,
world.
Yeah, the world.
And so it's like the snake, the cat, and the condor.
Oh.
And so, like, sometimes people experience like a hellish time. Like, and sometimes it goes back and forth. Some people, sometimes you have just sort of this, you know, open, like, I think when I was like eyes open, I'm like, I'm in this world, but then sometimes you're just like, I'm experiencing like a heavenly, like, experience, and yeah, then you're in this above world. So it's just every time sort of plays off of each other. And so the first time I did the two nights in a row, it was just like one, like, heaven, and then like bigger heaven.
Uh-huh.
And then the most recent time, like, night was sort of heavenly, and then daytime was actually, I was like back in Earthly. The real world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, I have more questions I'm going to hit you up,
yeah,
with,
sure,
in ayahuasca. Right? We'll, yeah, do that in the premium. Before we wrap up the free version of the show, though, John, what are you doing? What's your plan with Wells Fargo?
Well, right now we're petitioning Governor Sandoval. We're putting in an appeal.
Yeah.
We're petitioning the governor to please reexamine this and actually
because they did reject the first one, so you're in repeal and
strike this investigation. It was not done as an investigation.
So people can go to unitedchurchofbacon.com. They can find the link.
Churchofbacon.com.
Church of Bacon. My apologies. Yeah.
Church
of
Bacon
or praisebacon.com.
Praisebacon.com.
Well, let's give them churchofbacon.com. Go there and look for the petition and help let Governor Sandoval know that there are atheists and not just atheists, but anybody who believes that equal rights for all religions with regard to this law that is there to protect people from discrimination. It matters to everyone, matters, including the non-believing religions.
Correct.
And we don't deserve to be treated this way because you don't like what our church stands for.
Correct. And as you know, you're our official service.
I am.
And Penn's our official Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Penn Sunday School. And so sign the petition, join the church, increase our membership. Right now we have 4,000 members. Increase the membership, sign the petition.
There's nothing you don't pay anything.
No.
Just come on in.
We don't take donations.
Come on in and say you want to be part of Praise Bacon, man. Let's do
right.
it.
Right. And there's also a link to Governor Sandoval's email address and also his phone number.
Call him up.
Call
email
him. You've also got on the site.
Tell him to make sure that the Nevada, what's the group called? Nevada
Equal Rights Commission.
The Nevada Equal Rights Commission does its job thorough because
Correct.
They haven't. That investigation that I read was a joke. There was no investigation, it
no.
looked like.
And not only that, on the same page, when you go to the churchofbacon.com page, you'll see also, not only can you join the church, but you'll see that... I lost my train of thought.
I know what you're going to say.
The letters.
Yep.
My letter of appeal to the
you can actually
Nevada
see,
Equal Rights
You can
Commission.
Actually read what's been going on with this whole
Correct.
Process.
And my letter and also my attorney's letter okay. to the Nevada Equal Rights Commission.
Please go to churchofbacon.com. Get involved. Forward the link for the petition. Get it out there. Let's get people involved. And let's force the government to do what the government claims they're supposed to be doing, and that's protecting all religious rights.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We'll talk a little bit more about it in the premium, but man, I want to know about your drug experiences, man. And now, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers. very soon. I want to thank our guests, Mike Kaplan, John Whiteside, and Michael Addis. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Ryan Magnan. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
present.
They will be present. And we'll be talking about...
the future.
This is... are you saying our guests have not been present?
They're going to be here.
No, but these... this. Okay. This has been the free version of episode 166, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Very Godless Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Irregodless Winters.
Irregodless. It's not a word. Some characters mentioned in this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. Mike, where can people find you?
MikeKaplan.com, MikeKaplan.com, and on Netflix, and my podcast on KeithandTheGirl.com.
Michael Addis? Do you have a thing where they can find you?
Look, you can go to MichaelAddis.com.
And people can find John through ChurchOfBacon.com. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist at ArdentAtheist.com. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.